This is Scripture Read Badly,
a podcast where two grown-up pastors' kids discuss the stories of the Bible in chronological order,
attempting to avoid heresy and generally having a good time.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Ryan.
Sit back and rejoice. Today's verse comes from Exodus 21, 33 and 34. If someone leaves a pit open or digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution, giving money to its owner but keeping the dead animal. So, if you, like me, want a lot of pulled pork for breakfast, just dig a big old hole and wait till your friend's pig falls in it, and then you get a pig.
Come on.
You have to pay for it, but you still get that pig.
I always equated that verse with Team Rocket from Pokemon, because they always used to dig pits in the road, and then people would fall in, and then they'd try and steal their Pokemon. So maybe they were just being biblical, but I don't know.
Did it work? Did they get Pokemon?
They never succeeded in stealing a Pokemon. But they did succeed
classic
in catching
theft.
Some, but they were wild, so it's a different kind of thing. Anyway, you were saying?
And if we refer back to the verses that we'll go through today, you shouldn't steal things.
Yes, exactly.
But this is Scripture Read Badly, and my Christian name is Jeremy.
My name is Ryan, and I'm not sure if it's Christian. It's Gaelic. Are Gaelics Christians? Were they Christians? I guess they might have become.
They had some of a time.
Yeah.
The Celts, they were Christian, right? Not the Gaelics. The Gaelics were...
The Celts and the Gaels.
And still are.
Gaels?
The Gaels. They,
I believe they had somewhat of a heated history, but they were between Scotland and Ireland way back when.
Classic.
I know very little about that era, but if you do, you can let us know on our email address or through social media. Early plug, but today we are talking about the latter half of Exodus chapter 20, that is the Ten Commandments, and I do believe you'll remember that a few days ago in our last episode, we were partially through talking about the Sabbath when Jeremy had to leave, and so it was a little bit truncated, but we'll pick up talking...
Where did I have to go?
I don't remember.
Kids camp. All right, next.
Okay, so we will be starting out with talking about the Sabbath, and we'll go through the other commandments, and then we'll see where things go from there. But
hang on, do you naturally say commandments?
I do. Do you say commandments?
All right. I think so.
Whoa!
The Ten Commandments. Yep, I do.
Wow, that's so fun.
Is that British?
Yes. But
all
I mean,
right, twins.
Okay, so the thing about that is, I grew up in a few different places, mostly in New South Wales, in Australia. And
yep.
In New South Wales, it's a very, very torn state, because you'll find pockets, even within cities, and sometimes just within schools, where you are taught to say graph and commandment and
graph.
Those types of things. But then... I mean, I think it was like that in Penrith, when I was in Penrith, in Dariff. And then when I moved to Nowra, I got taught how to say graph and commandments, because they're bogans. So,
that makes so much sense.
Yeah, but then my parents too, I think they are split. My dad grew up traveling around a bit, because he was a PK as well. So I think he ended up saying... graph, but my mum grew up as an ocker down.
This is graph.
Yeah, she was an ocker down in Denny, so basically in the outback, not really, but close in Deniliquin, the border of Victoria.
Deniliquin.
Yeah.
It's the anti Beyonce of Australia.
It pretty much is. I mean, if you know anything about the Ute muster, you know all you need to know about Denny. but down there, I'm pretty sure they say graph, and they're very nasally with their pronunciation of the A's. But yeah, I say commandment, because even when I was in Canberra, some of my friends said commandment, which is what you would have grown up in, because that tends to be more of an upper class thing, and whether or not you...
Very educated.
Whether or not you're upper class in Canberra, you tend to be...
I'm definitely not.
you tend to be grouped into that kind of culture anyway. True. But then also in Adelaide, especially in South Australia, they're very proud of being free settlers, even though if you boil it down, 90% of the Australian population were free settlers and not convicts.
Yep.
And that was probably 100 years ago. Now it's more like 2%. But anyway, I feel like we've had this conversation before, and it came back to me being freshly immersed in that cultural difference because I'm doing study by distance through Adelaide. So, yeah, it's a it's a little bit close to home for me at the moment. But yes, I say commandment. So we are currently looking at the 4th commandment, the Sabbath day. And we've talked about how it used to be Saturday, and then in the early church that it became Sunday so that they could start their week with rest and dedication to God. And it was a symbol, symbolic of the new covenant being instituted, not holding strictly to the old covenant. So I had a bit of a talk with my dad this week about the Sabbath, and I don't really know where it started, but we started talking about how what food you could prepare on the Sabbath and things. And so even considering the Pharisaical practices, and Jesus confronts the Pharisees about this, saying, I'm Lord of the Sabbath, I can glean on the Sabbath. If people are hungry, they need to eat, you can glean, that's fine. I'll heal people because I'm awesome, and I'll do it all on Saturday because you guys aren't doing your job. He was very vocal about that, but at the same time, he, I think, respected the reverence that was at least the people were at least pretending to exhibit on the Sabbath. He was appreciating that they were resting physically, even if they weren't resting spiritually, I think. But obviously, God's intention with this commandment is to instruct people to take a break and to enjoy things like what he did on the seventh day of creation, where he didn't physically do anything. He
except play golf, right?
Except play golf. He definitely played golf with Adam. Because Adam didn't have Eve, or did he? He probably did. Oh, man.
And his handicap was incredible.
Yeah, because he lost a rib, so he was probably wheezing a bit. So he had a bit of a handicap. But yes. Anyway, we'll get this one, I guess, moving. Do you have anything else to say about the Sabbath before we move on to the fifth commandment? No? Okay. great. Jeremy, why don't you take us through the fifth commandment?
It says, honor your father and mother, and that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And it's interesting that it has that reward at the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, do this so that you will be long in the land. And I don't know if that's like a lore or a hope or a consequence in perpetuity, like now.
Yeah.
If I honor my father and mother, will I be long in the land that I live in?
Mm.
Or if that part was just for the Jews. But when you look at families, especially my own, whenever I have a healthy respect and honor of my parents, our relationship's better, and my feelings of belonging and safety in the world and security get pretty high, because the people who made me are big fans of me and I am a big fan of them.
Yeah.
So there's this cool harmony. But any time that I've had, like, disrespect for them, or if I've met people who have disrespect for their parents, it gets a little interesting. And, of course, you could think about other reasons for that in their lives. Like, why do they feel like they don't belong anywhere?
Sure.
It's not just because they don't respect their parents.
Yep.
But it seems like God has a big want and a big desire that family units are at least respectful to each other, if not super tight-knit.
Yeah, and it's the only commandment listed here that has a promise attached to it. And if you think about it, the promise doesn't necessarily have to relate to the inheritance of a land, as is the case with these Jews that it was first told to and then throughout the centuries. I think it has to do with the favor and the blessing of God. Obviously, it doesn't mean that you will have long days and short nights, like it was the summer solstice or something like that.
Summer.
Yeah, well, I'm more like, winter at this stage. I'm sitting in my room, it's about 29 degrees inside, and man, it's not great. Not great. But
I'm staring at snow, it's minus 16.
Oh, that's so good. So good.
Let's come on, summer. Actually, I don't even want spring because I know spring will just be rain and I'll hate it. I just want sun. Anyway.
Yeah. So I think it has to do with the blessing of God. And my ESV Study Bible specifically says that it has to do with the favor of the Lord. So I wonder, does this apply to people that don't necessarily keep the first commandment, but they still respect their father and mother? So as in they...
Oh, I get what you're saying.
If they are not...
My brain was a little slow.
That's right. If they're not Jews or they're not Christians or they're not practicing of those at least, but they still honor their father and mother, whether or not God will bless them as a result of that or what?
I think so in an extent, and same with the rest of the commandments. Like these commandments by themselves... Yep. Are quite pro longevity and pro valuing people in life. And so separate from loving God, I think he's all about that.
Mm.
And you can see that in a lot of people without faith that respect and honor their parents.
Yeah.
They seem to have a blessing on their lives.
True.
Not everyone, of course, because of different life circumstances, but... So it's an interesting thing that blessings come outside of keeping all of the commandments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because even not murdering, that seems to bless people that don't murder.
Mm-hmm.
And not bearing false witness, then you get the blessing of being trustful and etc.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, just the...
Did I cough directly into the mic?
I don't know if it was directly mic. It may have been directly into your Skype mic. I'm not sure about your recording mic.
All right.
That's all right.
I don't think I was into the recording mic. Also, it's funny when everyone I know, pretty much, has gotten sick and I haven't gotten sick. And I bet you $5 that this is my time. I don't want to get sick.
I'm not taking you up on that bet, mate. I'm trying to pinch every penny that I have leading up to our wedding.
Ooh.
I'm pinching all the pennies.
Yeah, wedding.
But I'm not stealing anything because that would go against the eighth commandment.
Yeah, you're supposed to have something borrowed, not stolen. Mm.
I'll borrow all the pennies.
All of the pennies.
But then does that mean I have to give them all back? Good thing we got rid of pennies in Australia. Possibly. Far out. 1 cent coins, completely ridiculous.
Useless.
My goodness. Anytime I go to the States,
at this point, most coins are pointless.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, except for maybe dollar coins and $2 coins. They're kind of handy.
But still, I'm all about that electronic card.
Yeah. Yep.
I want that implant. So
you want the mark of the beast?
The next one... I keep saying that I want the mark of the beast so I don't have to carry anything anymore. Even my door I could open with a mark.
Yes. Bring it on.
That'd be the best.
Microchip me.
My pockets would be so free.
Wait, but then how far away are we from something like In Time, where suddenly time is currency, and if you spend all your time, then you're dead? How far away is that? Because they have...
I don't understand that concept at all.
In Time, it's a movie with Justin Timberlake, I think.
Oh, I love the Justins.
It was okay. I liked it.
Oh.
But
how long ago was this?
Mid-2000s.
Does it have some sweet Jesus overtones?
No, I don't think so. But, well...
Then we can't talk about it on this
show. I mean, it's the overthrowing of oppressive regimes.
Ooh.
It's kind of like a...
Jesus is all about that.
It's kind of like a Robin Hood kind of scenario where there's a very rich group that is in power over a very large, very poor demographic. And then the main character ends up getting to the point where he can rob from the rich and give to the poor, because time is not only money, literally, in this world, but also it's time that they have to live. So if you run out of money, you die.
So Kevin Costner just takes all the money off people and gives it to people who are dying?
It's Justin Timberlake, but it's more like he takes all the time from these really rich people and gives it, because the really rich people have been alive for centuries because they've been so wealthy that they're prolonging their own life, but everyone kind of stops aging at around 30. So it's a bit of a weird concept, but he ends up giving all the time back to the people that are suffering and stuff, and equaling the playing field.
The people are great.
Yeah, I like the people. You know who else likes the people? The Lord likes the people.
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, at some stage when we get into a rough, I'll talk about seeing Faustus the other day. That'll have some tie-in at some stage.
Okay.
But, not murdering. Mm. If the creator of all life is all about that, then he probably isn't all about us murdering each other, which is taking away the life force of someone else.
Mm.
But I used to have this weird mantra where I would say, you can
kill, but you can't
murder. Mm-hmm. Which was premised on the idea that there are times where death happens, either through justice means or
Justin.
Accident or something like that. Yeah, the Justins, they come up all the
Classic.
Time. But you can't premeditate to take away someone's life just because you want them off the earth. Because throughout scripture, God seems to know who's going to die and who's not, and chooses to take certain lives but not others.
Mm.
And I think God doesn't murder, he kills. And therefore, as followers of his, we can also kill, but we cannot murder. Your thoughts?
It's definitely a grey one, I think.
Oh, I love grey ones.
Yeah, I tend to stay far away from grey ones, but for the most part, I mean...
Smart.
I try to stay clear of killing. Except in the case of, there were actually a couple of, I think they were hornets or something at my house today. I killed two. Did I murder them?
Yep.
Is that a sin? I don't know. If we're meant to subdue the earth.
Were they going to do damage to you?
I was afraid that they would, or that they would do damage to my family. Yeah. Fear leads to anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. I know. Star Wars does the Bible.
What else do you think about not murdering? Why did he put it in there?
I think...
Did they not know already that murder was bad?
Well, did Moses know? He killed someone in cold blood.
He definitely killed people.
That was murder, definitely of the first degree. And I don't think that it was necessarily outlined prior to this, because... As you said, God killed pride at this point. The flood, for example, and Sodom and Gomorrah and other ones that are actually recorded. And so even Abraham led a charge against an enemy and killed a bunch of people. And Moses has obviously murdered somebody. And so I think culturally... And I watched the new version of the... Magnificent Seven the other night, and in that, just seeing the amount that people would just kill if they disagreed with each other, they just draw their gun and boom, that person's dead, I don't have to pay them back, like that type of thing. I think culturally it wasn't very black and white. I think it was kind of grey at the time of this being written, so I think it was important for God to say, murdering for any reason is bad. You should not do that. There are other ways to get over your problems, to reconcile. Even the judicial system they set up a few chapters earlier, that is put in place so that you don't get into disagreements that lead to death. So I think it's important that it was put in there because culturally at the time it was probably more of a grey area.
Yeah. Definitely, yep. Agreed.
Mm. What?
And once again, this is all linked into taking them from being slaves and pretty much a giant refugee camp and turning them into a nation that should tell everyone else how good God is.
Yeah, establishing them as a society. Yep. All right, so then verse 14 brings about the command to not commit adultery. Your thoughts on
this? What's that?
Adultery?
Yeah.
Well, I believe adultery is having sexual relations with somebody that you are not married to. Fornication.
All right. And why would that be important for a new nation?
I think it's important because family has always been really important to God. And the... Yep. The family unit and marriage itself, right from the beginning in Genesis, we see that kind of poetic verse. It's probably around verse 20 or something like that, where it says, "For this reason, man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So that's right from the beginning, showing how important that intimate bond is between two people to God. And there have been physiological and biological studies that have happened, especially in the last 50 years, that have confirmed that the more sexual partners you have or have had, the more problems it can lead to in many different areas of your life. So I think it's...
Where are those studies? I want to read those studies.
I'm sure they're everywhere. I mean, I've... Yeah, just look it up. Look up sexual partner study. No. I think, honestly, you probably could Google something like the importance of monogamy, and then that'd probably bring back a good list of studies and stuff. But
from www.jesus.org.
Yeah, probably
classic studies, yeah. In inverted commas.
How do you feel about? Okay, so this is something, as I'm leading up to marriage at time of recording,
yep.
When this is released, I will already be married.
Yay!
Very excited for that. But I think the closer I've gotten to marriage and the older I've gotten, the more I've either heard stories of people that either eloped or had sex before they were married and then got married. So then they've essentially been monogamous, but because they weren't in a marriage covenant, it maybe could be construed as adultery. I think I'm just becoming more acutely aware of how common this actually is in today's society. Because 100 years ago, you would hear about shotgun weddings that would happen because people slept together and then the girl got pregnant and then her father would... make sure that the...
Meet him at the door with a shotgun.
Exactly, saying, you need to marry my daughter, otherwise, blah, blah, blah. And that kind of happened with Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, where they were like, oh, they're not married, and she's pregnant. And then Joseph was ashamed, and he wanted to divorce her, or break off the engagement or whatever. So, that was obviously looked down upon then, and especially, I mean, 20... No... More than 20, maybe 30, 40 years ago, it was not normal at all, or at least it wasn't celebrated necessarily for people to be sleeping together outside of marriage. But now it's become a lot more of a common thing. We have de facto relationships and other things like that. What is your perspective of adultery, I think, particularly in regards to a modern context?
Some of what I think I will not put on recording.
Okay, yeah.
But some of what I think is linked to the mystery of sex and committed relationships.
Right.
Like, the more I talk with non-Christians and Christians, the more it is very obvious to me that we either put too much stock in, and this is a millennial thing as well. Yeah. We put so much stock in being able to choose what we want to do with our lives,
mm-hmm.
and we can travel so much and we can have so much fun that we don't really think about what we want in the long term. And then because we're constantly changing our jobs, and a lot of us have grown up in families that didn't stay together, mm-hmm. the idea of a committed relationship is either so far out of reality that we don't even strive for yep. it, or too hard / not instant gratification sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That it's almost impossible to think that. And then you have this backlash almost of online relationships or online dating apps,
yep.
which is like, choose your favorite hottie and swipe to the whatever side it is. Mm. And it's more of a game. And so then there's still not this idea that you could grasp at longevity.
Yeah.
But then because if people go through a cycle of one night stands or even short-term relationships,
yep.
there's a backlash of that on, well, I don't want that because it breaks my heart and it tears me apart and there's no comfort.
Yep.
And so then that widens the gap even further of, I don't even want to try for longevity because I'll just get hurt.
Yeah.
And so then the backlash of that is almost returning to the original behavioral trend of one night stands, because that at least gives you a little bit of comfort, and still there's no like old committed marriages speaking truth into that, like
yeah.
that's definitely in non-Christian circles, but even in Christian circles I grew up with no one really talking about the hardship of marriage but the value of marriage.
Yeah.
I just saw it in my parents. Mm. And I was never taught about sex and what sex can do.
Yep.
And so I just went into the world with this ignorance of, this black and white ignorance of, you don't have sex, no one has sex, sex is terrible.
Yeah.
But then I've heard some of my married friends now being like, because I was told all my life that sex is bad, when I actually did get married, sex was still bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there was no switch for them, and there was no healthy knowledge of sex up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I think that is to blame a little bit for the backlash of some of my generation just hooking up with whoever they wanted.
Yeah.
And either accidentally doing longevity or never finding longevity. And now, like, I'm single in my 30s, yeah. and I have a lot of friends who are single in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Who don't seem to have any idea of what to do next. And, all right, this is going to link into what we were talking just before we started recording. Mm-hmm. There's this funny program called Married at First Sight that I'm now watching because I'm just obsessed with this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the couples now on the show are over 30 and that same attitude. Like, I made my first million when I was 23 and then I just couldn't stop working and now I want to find a bride.
Yeah.
And he's like 50.
Oh, man.
And he's finally figured out that he wants something other than lots of cash.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, if I could go back 20 years, I would tell myself, what you really want is relationship and community.
Mm.
Don't necessarily run after some weird adventure separate to that.
Yeah.
Because I love my life. I'm living the life of my dreams. But ultimately, when I die, I'd prefer to be in a position like my dad is. And he has four awesome kids and has been married for 40 years.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And I feel like God is all about that too. So then when you bring this refugee camp into the middle of nowhere, I think God really wants to press on them. You've been a slave and your slavery built things and brought money to people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that for you. I want you to be built into a beautiful, loving community like I have with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to give you these principles of not stealing, not killing, not committing adultery. And the essence of the intimacy of your community is this like mini version of the Trinity, which is father, son, and wife, yep. or father, daughter, and wife. Yep. And to break the trust of that through sleeping around is terrible.
Mm.
Your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I agree that, especially for millennials, myself being one of the youngest years that sneak in there, I definitely did. And I mean, I don't think it was necessarily pushed on me that sex was wrong, that it was bad, sorry. It was more like it was just taboo. So you didn't talk about it.
Yeah, that's a good word for
and
it.
And so inside of marriage, it was fine and it was a good thing. But prior to that, if you even asked any questions, then it was kind of... It was a black mark against your name. It was a red flag. And so it was... it's been, I think, quite difficult for a lot of Christian millennials growing up with that kind of mentality towards sex. And so... I don't know. I mean... I think that, at least from what I've heard and the people that I've talked to, I think there is more of a desire for millennials that, for lack of a better word, felt repressed their whole life
yep.
to talk about this type of thing. Once they have kids and their kids are old enough and they start asking questions, to be a lot more open about it, to not,
yep.
Not sweep things under the rug or leave it to whoever their friends to tell them about it or something like that. I mean, somebody I know, their mum said to them, it's a girl, they said, I am going to give my daughter the sex talk, otherwise she's going to get it from her public school and the people that she interacts with there, and then it's not going to be the right kind of view. So then she was forced at a preteen age to read Preparing Your Daughter for Every Young Woman's Battle, and then reading Every Young Woman's Battle, and then other things like that.
Worst thing ever.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the core of all this is commitment. And God's point in all of this is to be fully committed. Because if you lack commitment, especially in the most intimate area of your entire life, you will see your life fall apart. It will not be fulfilling. Like you said, God really values family and he values the intimacy, and he doesn't want us to compromise on that. He doesn't want us to land short of where he has designed us to end up, I guess. So
yeah, and the 10 commandments are very black and white and very you will not do this. But then when you get to Jesus, he's like, no, I value intimate community so much that if you look at another woman and you think about sex, that's where I want you to draw the line. I want you to honor and respect and give dignity to your intimate other so much that this won't happen, which I think is incredible and almost ridiculously, ridiculously, not hard, but strict compared to how our society currently is.
Yeah, totally. So, just quickly on this, we will get to the last ones, I promise, but I want to ask you about de facto relationships and monogamy outside of marriage, but committed monogamy, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think God thinks about that?
And this stuff has so much stuff in it that I just don't want recorded. Yeah. But
fair enough.
I was a wedding celebrant's son and a wedding photographer. Yeah. So I've been to a lot of weddings, and I stand sometimes in weddings and I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, why are you doing this huge expensive ceremony when you have been technically married for a long time, yeah. like a lot of these people had been already de facto. Mm-hmm. And so that part doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you have committed to someone so much that you bring children into the world together and your community has naturally said, these two are good together, yeah. I don't see the point of getting a big piece of paper and signing things. Mm-hmm. But because of how the Australian government works, you need that piece of paper for a few different things, not just for you two, but also for the children
yeah.
and the future. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense to me. But if I had my way, people would just get married at the courthouse and then have a barbecue at the house.
Yeah, that's fair.
So de facto for me is fine. I just... Because we live in a culture that's very... I don't like you now, so let's break up. Like, not putting so much effort into things occasionally, not all of the time. Yeah. De facto, if it's real... is just as real as what we would consider a real marriage in quotation marks. Mm-hmm. And I think God would... I think that's what God's all about. God's not necessarily about the state ordaining certain yep. things. He just wants to be involved in committed relationships. And then when you think about people who aren't of faith, then de facto is... should be blessed because that's the highest that they could commit mm-hmm. to because they're not going to come to a church.
Yep. There was... I can't remember who it was that I heard this from, but I think it was a Maori guy from New Zealand. He yep. said something like... whether he was talking about his... Oh, okay. I think he was talking about his ancestors, but it was within... Yep. 100 years or so, something like that. So he was an older man, and he said, back when my great-grandfather or whatever was a kid, it was the custom where a man would look at a woman he liked who was not married, and he'd kind of give him the nod, and they'd run off into the into the bush, and when they came back out, they were married, and that was it.
Classic bush marriage.
So, I mean, I agree with you. I think it doesn't have to be necessarily... God doesn't really care about this signed piece of paper. But I think it is really important to God that there is some level of... some demonstration of commitment, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you even see that with baptism. He's saying... get baptized publicly. It is a public declaration of your commitment to God. And I think that's the type of thing that God wants from a marriage. So,
Side point, where in the Bible does it say that?
That is...
about baptism?
I think that is in one of the epistles. It's somewhere in the New Testament.
The word public is there?
I don't know. It might just be... Okay. It might just be passed down through tradition, and maybe I've been getting it wrong, but maybe that's what this podcast is all about. There you go,
I think
about.
It is tradition, and I love tradition, but I also hate tradition. Yep. So, I agree and disagree.
Okay, great.
And I totally uphold the idea that God loves ceremony, because he does that all through the scripture. Anyway, yep. back to what you were saying.
Okay, I think we could get into, we'll make a list of some potential bonus episodes that we could do further down the line, talking about some of these topics in depth, and
I love bonus going
back and forth. So we'll look into that. You guys don't have to worry about that wherever you are, but yeah, give us a reminder if you don't hear anything from us within the next month or so. That'd be great. And regardless of when you're listening to this, if you don't hear anything about bonus episodes, then please
contact
us within a month. That'd be great. Okay, so the next one is you shall not steal. What's the importance of this one?
It connected to dignity, I think, and also back to when they were slaves, they were making things that they didn't get to enjoy. Yep. Like, they're not going to use the pyramids if that's what they were building, yep. which is highly doubtful. Yeah. And God's insistence that, or love of, creativity... Mm-hmm. which he shows up later about. But if you put in effort to have the skills and the creativity to do something and someone takes that, or Like, just imagine if... What was it? The birds that fell out of the sky? Quail?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If the quail came down and God had allotted everyone a specific amount of quail and then someone takes your quail, then you don't get to eat quail and then you go hungry. Mm-hmm. And so God's love of life and God's love of everyone...
Being able to being enjoy...
Nice everything. To each other and able to enjoy... Mm-hmm. Same with the Sabbath, like if your boss stole your Sabbath and you didn't get to rest, that's pretty unfair.
Yeah.
And so it seems to link in with everything in the Ten Commandments, but to a specific thing of if you own something and it's yours, then it's not somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever had something stolen from you?
Probably. I remember a simpler time, probably around the year 2000, when one of my older brothers was collecting Pokemon cards, as we all were, and he just got this holographic Alakazam card, and he was about 7 years old, 8 years old at the time. And so he took it into the youth group that my dad was the youth worker at, and he was kind of showing it to people, and they were all saying, wow, that's so cool, because... As youth group kids, they were between 13 and 18 years of age. So they were just a few years older than him. And they were collecting Pokemon cards as well, because it was all the rage. So then this one kid, who seemed to be a little bit shady, a bit of a troublemaker, said, wow, can I see your Alakazam? And then he took the card from him. And then one thing led to another. I think my brother got distracted. Because we would only come in for a few minutes, because we were way too young to be at the youth group on official business, so we would just show up when the youth group was starting or when it was ending to pick up Dad. And my brother's Alakazam card went missing, and everyone got lined up. Felt a bit like an army movie where everyone's lined up and the drill sergeant's walking back and forth shouting at people. Not really, it wasn't quite like that, but it was. They said, has anybody seen Benji's Alakazam? Has anybody seen it? And 3/4 of the people said, nope, I don't even know what that is. I haven't seen him with that card. I don't even know what that card looks like. And then there were a few people that said, yeah, I saw him show this other guy earlier on. And then this other guy had his hands in his pockets and he said, nope, I haven't seen it. And so then he got pressed with questioning. And they said, take your hands out of your pockets. And he said, nope, not going to do that. So that was really sketchy. And I remember my brother being very distraught about that. But I myself don't remember anything of significance being stolen from me necessarily. Yep. But I mean, there have been times where my time has been taken from me, where people have gone out of their way to inconvenience me. Or if they didn't want me to be doing a certain thing, they would, whatever, waylay me. And it would... I think stealing goes beyond just physical things. Obviously, as you said earlier, it also has to do with what you've earned and being able to enjoy that. And so whether that is you are earning something physical and wanting to enjoy the food that you have put on the table or whatever it is, or if it's something... like sitting down in front of the TV and after a long day of work, you have earned some time to rest and then somebody actively inconveniences you. That can feel like stealing. And in some instances it is, but if it's something like your favorite TV show gets canceled for the week because of a news broadcast, then you can't consider that stealing. So
not married with first sight.
No. Okay, couple more to go, and then we'll wrap things up in the next few minutes. So we have not bearing false witness against your neighbor. Obviously, this not only has to do with lying, saying, yes, I did see this person do that thing with that person then, but it also has to do with, so not just in a court setting, but on a smaller setting, it also has to do with gossip and things like that.
But also goes back to like the second one or the first one, where it says, you shall not take God's name in vain.
Sure, that was like, the third.
Yeah, we can't misrepresent God, and also God doesn't want us to misrepresent other people. Like, relabel them falsely.
Yeah.
And then 17 is all about coveting and wanting things that aren't yours, which is like the first step of stealing and adultery, I assume.
Yeah.
And maybe even murder. Mm-hmm. So that cuts that off.
Yep.
Sound of the trumpet. Oh, yeah. And then the mountains works.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that all?
Yeah, that's all 10 of them. So then there's thunder and flashes of lightning, sound of the trumpet. The mountain is smoking. As we remember, it's more like a big hill, big rocky hill. And the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off. And they were instructed to stay away from the mountain, but they stood far off because of fear. And apparently they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." So they are seeing this big display of these natural phenomena up at work on the mountain. And they have said, "We don't want to interact with God directly if he's like that, because that's freaky." And that's fair. I just wonder when...
Very fair.
I wonder when they said this to Moses. Whether that was... Maybe God was carving these things on the stone tablets, and then we just read about them here. And later on it says God gave them to Moses. Or if Moses was going up and down the mountain every day or so. I don't know. But then Moses assures the people to not be afraid.
Excuse me. God
has come to test them. And to ensure that the fear of God is in them, in order that they won't sin. And the people stood far away, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was.
Ooh, hello.
That's pretty cool. And then God says more stuff about a whole bunch of things for the next 11 chapters. He's talking about altars and priests and tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant.
And violence. And violence. Property.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of topics that we probably won't go into, but we could... We'll briefly gloss over them at the beginning of the next episode. Jeremy, Yay. Do you have any closing thoughts on this latter half of the Ten Commandments?
Yes. When you have made a lot of pulled pork, maybe have less than you think you should for breakfast, otherwise you get sleepy.
Mm.
That's Jeremy's advice for whatever today's date is.
Yep, whenever you're listening to this. That's great. Well, I think that's some pretty sound advice, and I'll make sure to take that.
Me too.
Next time I have some pulled pork available to me in the morning. And, for everyone else, you can make sure that you check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out our website. Email us. Everything's in the show notes. You can just read it there. Leave us a voicemail. That's pretty cool. If you think that we've said anything wrong, we'd love to hear about it. If you have any suggestions of things we can specifically address, especially as we get into this whole big, thick part of the law that it's likely that we will gloss over a lot of, if you want us to particularly address any chapter, then let us know. That would be fantastic. Otherwise, my name is Ryan.
And I have been known by Jeremy. Mm,
that is your Christian name, I've heard.
That is my Christian
name. My Gaelic name is Ryan, as I already said, and we will be here again in a few days' time, hopefully, or maybe a week, or maybe right after this, if you're listening to them back-to-back. This is Scripture Read Badly. We'll see you next time. Well, you'll hear us next time, I suppose, but that's it from us.
And I will never see you. Okay, bye!